So how you doing, Chris?
I'm not too bad. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm very good. I'm very good. And how's your weekend been so far?
Eh, not too bad. Watched some Van Damage this afternoon in preparation.
Nice. Always a good Sunday afternoon where Van Damme's concerned.
Exactly.
How about yourself, Doc? Are you doing well?
I'm all right. Can't grumble. I can, but you don't want to wear it, do you? You don't want to wear it.
No, shut up. Look, the show might be named after you, but you know your place, all right? Keep your mouth shut. Okay, so, I don't know, we'll do a quick introduction then, and away we go.
1 year ago in 2012, a crack duo, one martial arts expert and surprisingly good mimic, the other a weapons specialist and professionally bearded, were sent to separate recording stations thousands of miles apart to do an 80s and 90s action commentary podcast for a crime they happily committed. Something James Spader told them about that involved an industrial drum of coconut butter hand lotion and a common household whisk. These men promptly created a passion-filled wave of action adoration that swept throughout the internet underground. Today, still wanted by Steven Seagal for making one too many jokes about his expanding gut and knitted hair, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you love action, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you should be listening to Dr. Action and the Kick-Ass Kid Commentaries. This podcast, people, explodes.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Action and the Kick-Ass Kid Commentary Podcast, minus the commentary this week. I am Dr. Action.
And I am the bloody Kick-Ass Kid. And with us this week, it's very exciting, this week we have none other than the host, the wonderful and exciting impresario of the WAFU FM empire, none other than Mr. Snoog himself, Chris Armstrong. Say hello, sir.
Hello, that was a very nice introduction, thank you, sir.
I was trying to work out the word, I was thinking like the overseer, the manager, the CEO, I was like, that's all shit. Impresario is really what you are, because you have a whole empire over there at WAFU. Why don't you tell the listeners what it's all about, sir?
It's a movie podcast. You know, we'd go over the week's news. We usually just moan a lot about the news because most movie news just pisses me off, really. And then follow it up with a couple of reviews. And you know, it's a bit like the After Movie Dinner. Like, nothing's off limits, really. We'll review anything.
Right, exactly. And then you've just started up WAFU AM.
That's true, yeah.
Which is not about films. That's about everything else.
Yeah, it was just because every time we record a show, for like the first hour, we just end up nattering about anything. So
right.
We thought, why not just you know, use the time properly and do another podcast?
Yeah, why not just put that out there as well? No, that's exactly what you should be doing. That's fantastic. And you also have a website which sort of has film reviews and things on it as well.
Yeah, I haven't updated that for a while since I started doing the podcast, because I did used to have another podcast a couple of years ago called Revolving Video. And then when that stopped, I started doing the blog. And then we started WAFU FM, so the blog kind of fell by the wayside a little bit. But I might start it up again soon.
Yeah, that's what happens, isn't it? I remember when I used to do written reviews, and then obviously you start the shows, and it takes up all your time. I still throw the occasional one out there, but it is what it is. And so what is, let's put this to rest once for all, what is WAFU? Where does that come from?
It comes from the film, the masterpiece, Samurai Cop.
Yeah.
It is a word, and it means like Japanese style or something like that. It's something to do with Japanese food, but it's just a point in the film where Robert Zadar, the great Robert Zadar, gets punched in the head and just makes a noise, WAFU. And me and my cousin used to think that was hilarious, and we just used to say it all the time, and eventually I couldn't think of a name, so I'm just called WAFU.
And I'll happily announce that Samurai Cop is screening this coming Friday midnight in New York City, and I will be going to see a new cleaned up print of it. I understand that you are quoted on the back of the DVD cover. Is that true?
Yeah, I've got it. It was the guy who runs the Facebook page about the director, because the director's like some crazy Iranian guy who made all these bizarre action movies in the late 80s. And I'm friends with him, and I helped him with the Facebook page, and he got them to put a little special thanks to Snoog on the back, which made my life, pretty much, because I love that movie.
Yeah, of course. That's fantastic. And, I mean, lastly then, I guess, sort of how did you come across us, Dr. Action, the After Movie Diner, and all that stuff?
I think it was through Twitter, probably. I think it was through Grindhouse Dave. who listens to the diner, and he's always plugging podcasts on there. And I think he plugged the After Movie Diner one week, gave it a try, loved it. And I've been listening to Dr. Action since the first episode. So.
Excellent. Excellent. So, Doc, why don't you tell all the listeners what this week's show is going to be about and start us off with a few questions?
Okay, then. This week's show is about Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, yes, and the puppies.
These little puppies. Yeah. I know that Mr. Snoog is a big fan of Jean-Claude Van Damme. So I thought, let's get him on. Let's get him on and talk some Van Damme. So let's think of a first question. Mr. Armstrong, what is your very favourite Jean-Claude Van Damme movie?
Probably say Kickboxer. I think it was the first Van Damme film I saw when I was about 7. I think I went round to a friend's house. I was probably seven. I would have still been in primary school, which is probably too young to be watching Kickboxer. But I went round. He was, you know, telling us about this guy, Jean-Claude Van Damme. Stuck the film on, loved it. And I think that night I just borrowed it. I think he'd only bought the thing the day before, but I just stole it, took it home, watched it about 5 times. So I'd probably say that was still my favourite Van Damme movie.
Good choice, good choice. Very scary for a 7-year-old, though, with the clothes that he wears in it.
It is pretty terrifying, yeah.
Yeah.
And the large amount of splits he just seems to routinely go around doing in all of his early films.
Yeah, I got a question on Twitter from Mr. Richard Pierce, and he says, Dr. Action, Kick-Ass, Snoog, which movie featured the best Van Damme hairdo, Time Cop or Hard Target? And he says, personally, I've got to go with Hard Target, Moulet. So, gentlemen,
I would agree. The Moulet is fantastic, yeah.
And I haven't seen all of JCVD's stuff, but has he sported the Moulet in any other movie?
I don't think so. I think it's just those two movies, really.
Right. Yeah. So you think John Woo came on set and he was like, "Now this one, do we need Moulet?" And they went off and they found some sort of and they put it on. Or do you reckon like Van Damme was just for that short period in time, rocking that greasy, oiled up, semi permed, glorious Moulet?
Well, the Man of Steel apparently his cape in that is not real at all. It's just one big special effect through the whole film, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
So do you think the Moulet was actually just a special effect in Hard Target that they added in afterwards?
It's fantastic if it is. But I think no, probably it's genuine. I like to believe that VD used it to lasso the ladies.
Yeah, I mean, it's so long and luscious, but I mean, how does he get that much grease on it? Because it's a real greasy mullet, isn't it?
I think he got the grease from Seagal, actually.
Yeah, he probably borrowed it from Seagal's.
That's why they fell out. That's why they fell out, because he stole Seagal's grease.
Yeah, he went into his special boar-based oil reserves that Seagal has at his house. Where he always, at any one point, has several wild boar hanging up at the back of his house, draining, what he likes to call draining, into a large vat.
His mouth.
Which his mouth. Yeah, indeed. And I think that's, you know, that's probably, like you say, that's probably the cause of their rift.
I think we've stumbled upon it. I think that's got to be something like that.
I think that was probably what the fight was about at Stallone's house, that infamous drunken battle that almost took place.
Johnny, did you steal my ball grease?
No, call him Johnny.
Yeah, that's what he said. Johnny, did you steal my ball grease? I'm going to slap your hand, you bad the movie. Yeah, that's probably what happened. And Jean-Claude was like, no, I was just cuddling the puppy he rubbed on my hair, and I get this glorious greasy look. It was the puppy.
I squeeze the piss out of the dog. And I rub that in my hair.
That's no puppy, you little mook. I'm going to kick your ass, you little Frenchman. There we go. We've just reenacted it. And then Stallone came over and he said what? What did Stallone say, Doc?
He said, you know, that's not my son. That's my son, number five. That's what you got to do. Do that.
get away from the hummus dip. I can't do the accent, but yeah, get away from the hummus dip, he said. Okay, so
you're gonna spoil it.
I made it myself.
Right. I take your both on. Anybody else here? Hey, Arnie, come on, give me a hand, will you?
No, I want the hummus dip. Stay away. I don't want you messing it up with your crazy hair grease.
Stay away from the goddamn hummus, okay, Seagal? It's me, Kurt Russell.
And thus Planet Hollywood was born. So,
yeah, that's officially.
It's officially what it is.
Chris, quickly, do a Bruce Willis. Can you do a Bruce Willis impersonation, Chris?
Oh, no, I'm rubbish at impressions. I feel really out of my depth on this show when it comes to impressions.
That's crazy. I don't know why you would say that. Our impressions, they're more lovingly kind of in the ballpark, but not accurate. Just kind of silly, cuckoo, crazy, you know. Sorry. It's just we had so much fun doing the impressions last week, I can't tell you. I just feel like every commentary from now on I want to do is Michael Caine.
Oh, I loved the Michael Caine, and especially like Christopher Walken trying to explain what Wafu meant. It was probably one of my favourite parts of Doctor Action ever.
Yeah, right. Well, that was. I'll do a commercial for Wafu exactly like that.
Yeah.
What is Wafu? You say you don't know, but it's crazy. We'll do something like that, and then Mike Caine. You don't know what you're bloody talking about. I love getting loud as Caine. That's my favourite bit. But.
Yeah, that was an honour. That was an honour to have Michael Caine refer to me as Bloody Snoog.
It's Bloody Snoog. I'm telling you, he's on the show next bloody week, which is today. So that was fun. Anyway, let's go on with more questions. Do we have any more questions, Doc, on the Twitter feed?
Oh, not on Twitter, I don't think.
On Facebook, we've got about three or four, I think.
Yeah, definitely on Facebook.
Do you want to go ahead with one of those?
I've just got to find it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll go with the first one from Eric Campos.
Go on, then.
Who wrote, I don't know if you guys... I'm going to do it like... I don't know if you guys have covered this in a previous podcast or not, but does anyone have any info on why there is a cat meowing throughout all the fight scenes in Bloodsport? Just discovered this oddity myself, and it's seriously fucking weird. So that's what he... Has anyone noticed that there is a cat meowing throughout the fight scenes in Bloodsport? I didn't notice that when we did the commentary, Doc, did you?
No, I didn't, no.
Yeah, I read that and went back and looked at a couple of fights, and I couldn't hear anything.
Is that one of the? Is that what you watched this afternoon? Did you watch Bloodsport?
No, I watched Maximum Risk.
Oh, with Natasha Henstridge.
Indeed.
I have that on Blu-ray.
Oh,
very nice. Oh, very nice. I'll have that with some Battenberg. I haven't seen Maximum Risk in forever. Actually, I need to put the disc back in, but that's a good one. I didn't notice the cat meowing, and I have no knowledge of that happening. I can look it up online.
I wonder if he was watching it with his cat.
What if he didn't realise that a neighbour's cat came in through the window, got into the sofa, and he was sat on it the whole movie?
He could have been like a real big Jean-Claude Van Damme fan and he didn't know, and he's just, every time he's fighting, he's just going, meow,
yeah,
meow, loving it. And he's, you know, not on every copy, just his copy.
I'm typing it in now to the wonder that is Google, and Bloodsport and cat noises. Okay, here we go. Let's read this out and see. This is on the Vashti blog, or Vashti blog. Don't know what that means. Last night, friends and I were watching TV and Bloodsport came on. I had never really watched it before, but we noticed that during the fight scenes, there were reoccurring loud cat meows. It happened so frequently, it seemed like a joke on the filmmakers. Has anyone else noticed this? I don't know that there was repeated loud cat... I honestly think some of these people might have been sat on their animals while watching the movie and were unaware of such a thing.
Well, Eric Campos noticed.
Yeah. Well, I think what we need to do is demand that the listeners send in audio representation of this, and then we'll play it on the show to solve this problem once and for all.
Yeah, it's a curiosity for cats. And that killed the cats, apparently.
Well, it killed them because the big men were sitting on them while watching Bloodsport. And have you got the next question from Paul Bianco, sir?
Yes, it says, I think... Do you want me to do a voice for this?
You could do whatever the bloody hell you want.
All right, I'm going to say that Paul Bianco sounds like Nick Nolte.
Okay.
I think everyone agrees that Double Impact is possibly his greatest movie ever. Do you guys demand a sequel along with the rest of us? And which is the best way to take the characters? I know there's a script floating around that's probably close to production.
you know how accurate that is. I didn't understand a word, and that is exactly what I feel like when I watch Nick Nolte.
Snoop, what do you think? Would you like to see a Double Impact sequel? And is it possibly his greatest movie ever?
It's one of my favourites. Yeah, I would like to see it. I think he's mentioned that a couple of times. He would like to go back and make a sequel to that and flip the roles around, like with the Alex character coming to America and stuff. I think it could work.
Yeah, I mean, it's my favourite. It's possibly the first one I ever saw of Van Damme's proper. I mean, I know there are a lot of Hard Target fans out there, and I feel like Hard Target was possibly... I like it, but I feel like it was something you possibly had to come to closer to the time. I think you never forget your first time, and for me it was Double Impact. I think the Double Impact has the glorious double performance by Van Damme, stretching himself in quite a unique and beautiful way. I love the balls it takes to play the effeminate brother character. I think that really takes some kind of guts, more so than doing any actual action. And also that love scene where he gets really frustrated imagining his brother having sex with his wife is possibly the most hilarious, you know, 2 minutes of film ever committed to celluloid. So him running around the hotel smashing stuff up while in his head, he, as his brother, has ridiculously soft focus, bright pink lighting, large bosomed sex with his missus. That's quite phenomenal. I think
I'd always think he's got a hell of an imagination for a drunk guy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Beautiful lighting, the wind machine and everything.
Right.
It's what I'm like when I'm drunk. I always imagine Jean-Claude Van Damme boffing a blonde.
Boff. Let me motorboat your puppies. So the other one that I've seen that kind of that looks a lot like Double Impact, and because I think it takes place in Hong Kong, is that you sent me the disc recently, but I had seen it online, Doc, which is what's the fashion one?
Knock Off,
that's it. And is it Rob Schneider in that one?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Yeah, that's bloody bizarre, that one. I mean, it's good action in it, great action in it, but it makes no sense why those two would ever have been paired up.
On the streets of Hong Kong, a war is raging between the criminals who rule the city and the terrorists who threaten the world. One man is caught in the middle. And he'll need all the help he can get.
Well, I've been working out.
This summer, Jean-Claude Van Damme. Knock Off.
I see. It's one of those films that I think you can just watch. So I don't mind that film. Oh, I think we should... we've got to do another Jean-Claude Van Damme film soon, I think. Maybe that one.
Yeah, let's knock one off. That's what I always like to say. Okay, so we've got a couple more questions. We've got one from Mark Burns and one from Three Black Geeks. Do you want to take it away, Doc?
Yes. Three Black Geeks. Geeks. What's a geek? Three Black Geeks said, so we did a Jean-Claude Van Damme month back in April, and it was fun as hell. At any rate, what's your take on the quest? Did it come off as Bloodsport-like to you guys?
Snook?
That's kind of just a period set remake of Bloodsport. And is that the film where he was supposed to make it with the guy who wrote Bloodsport with, that Frank Dukes guy?
I think his name's in the title somewhere, isn't it?
Yeah, because I think they had a big falling out and Frank just tried to sue him or something. But yeah, I think it's a good man. You know, it's Van Damme and Moore. That's a hell of a partnership.
Yeah, right. I mean, Roger Moore is like the original Van Damme.
Yeah.
He's like the proto-Damme in a way. You know, in terms of the fact that they are both fans of the ladies, I guess. But no, I mean, I love Bloodsport. I also love The Quest. I can't really separate them because to my mind, they are. Once you've seen Bloodsport, you want more. And I don't mean you want Roger Moore. You want Roger Moore as well, but you want more of that kind of wonderful setup and wonderful performance, wonderful fights, and all the rest of it. I think the only thing that is where The Quest is let down, where Bloodsport succeeds, is in the actual fights. I think everything around the fights and the lead up to it, maybe The Quest does that slightly better, but the actual fights are better in Bloodsport. That's all I would say. I like The Quest though. How can you not enjoy Roger Moore with a beard as a pirate teaming up with Jean-Claude Van Damme as a clown? I mean, that's just phenomenal.
It's like I said when you did the commentary, and I wrote in saying it's a shame Moore didn't go on and like partner up with Seagal in the movie, and then maybe Michael Dudikoff. He could have had a whole new second career, right hand man action star.
He left me, Michael Caine, to bloody go with Seagal. I said, Moore came in to me and he said, "Do you know what, Michael? I've been thinking about having this whole second career," and I said to him, "No, listen, Roger, turning up in shitty B-movies is my job. You stay at home and count your bloody bomb money." And that's exactly how it went. So that's why Michael ended up in on Deadly Ground. And that's the
toodaloo, Roger. I'm off to make a Deadly Ground.
You could turn up with me in a Michael Winner film and play the fool. You could do that, but you leave bloody Seagal alone. And that's how it went. That's actual... That's tape right there. That's not me doing it, but that's actual tape that I harvested from Kane's estate.
It is. It's true. True.
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way, Michael. I'll be going back to impregnate your daughter. Does he have a daughter? I don't even know if he has a daughter. But let's just say he does, and she's pregnant with Moore's child.
Yeah, he popped round, she opened the door, and all of a sudden a womb started expanding. Well, she got pregnant. I only just raised my eyebrow.
Well, hello, my dear. Okay, and then one last question from none other than the man who's just bought an After Movie Diner T-shirt, so today is one of my favourite people, Mr. Mark Burns.
He said, "What the hell was JZVD? Jay-Z! What was he doing rapping? doing in that leotard in Breakdance the Movie.
My name is Jean-Claude Van Damme, I will dance for you. My name is Jean-Claude Van Damme, I will dance for you. My name is Jean-Claude Van Damme, I will dance for you. My name is Jean-Claude Van Damme, I will dance for you. My name is Jean-Claude Van Damme, I will dance for you. My name is Jean-Claude Van Damme, I will dance for you."
What can we say? Why was he in the leotard?
Have you seen Breakdance the Movie, Snoop?
No, I've seen the clip he's in. Okay. And I think the best way I ever heard that scene described was, I think it was in Empire, and they were going on about like cameos from people before they were famous, and they said, "Look out for Van Damme in the background dancing like he's just done a shit in his leotard." So yeah, that sums it up pretty much.
I would love to know what that both looks like and feels like. I don't think I've ever worn a leotard, so... No. I wouldn't know what it was like to shit in one. I imagine warming and comforting. It, you know, as long as it wasn't one of those painful Bernie poos.
Oh, we've all had them.
Yeah, we've all had them. I have them quite a lot because I live and eat in America, so that happens quite a bit. It's that bloody food over here is bloody rubbish. But that's beside the point. So they were all the questions we had on Facebook. So let's delve more into Snook's love of Van Damme. So you first saw Kickboxer when you were very young, and since then, have you sort of seen the majority of his stuff? How deep have you gone with his stuff? Have you got into like stuff like Derailed and In Hell, some of his more recent ones? Or
Yeah, there's a few I still haven't seen, like those mid, like 2005, 2006 ones. Like, I haven't seen Inferno, Legionnaire, Replicant. Derailed is like one of the worst films of all time. Have you seen Derailed?
I have. I've seen it and own it proudly. It's really bad, though. It's one of those, come to the Eastern Bloc, we make movie now. It's one of those things, you know.
Yeah, and you've got the, you know, the big train crash, which looks like a child's train set in the end. And it's like what you mentioned on Facebook, the editing technique, like the editing and that is just so ADD.
Yeah.
I don't even think I managed to watch the whole thing. I think I was 45 minutes in, I was like, it's not going to get any better, I'm just going to turn it off.
Yeah. It's Die Hard on a train, isn't it? That's basically what it's attempting to be. But it's Die Hard on a train as if made by some rather simple children.
It's like a really bad version of Under Siege 2.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. Really. Have you seen that one, Doc?
I don't think I've seen that one. I've seen Replicant. Okay. I've seen that. That's not too bad. And have you seen... Oh, what's that one? The Shepherd. Have you seen that one?
Yeah, I really like that one. That's one with Scott Atkins is the bad guy.
Yeah, that is a good film, that is.
Yeah, that's really good.
I enjoyed that one.
And yeah, anything with Scott Atkins and Van Damme. I mean, I like that pairing a lot.
Yeah, Assassination Games is a great film.
Yeah, it is. It's a really good one. Snook, what to you is the, if you had to pick like a quintessential five or six movies that, you know, you couldn't live without as far as JCVD is concerned, what are we looking at and why?
Well, probably Kickboxer, because like I said, it was the first one I saw, and it's probably still my favourite one. I don't know. I think the end fight is brilliant in that. I mean, it's over-edited as it is, like, because obviously Van Damme edited himself, because, you know, there's loads of slow-motion shots of his ass and lots of, you know, repeated kicks that are ridiculously over the top, but it's a fun movie. Of course, you've got Van Damme dancing in it.
Nice.
I think we can both agree that Van Damme's a better dancer than Seagal.
Oh, yeah. Although Seagal wins out of sheer enthusiasm and insanity, I think.
Mm, oh, that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'd probably say Hard Target. You know, but you both know why. It's a classic. I like a lot of the later ones he did before JCVD. Like, I think In Hell's a really good underrated movie. Wake of Death's a good one. Until Death, lots of death. I'd say Double Impact as well. That was a big favourite when I was younger.
And have you seen the Behind Closed Doors series that they screened in the UK?
Oh, yeah, that was brilliant. I was watching it with my girlfriend at the time hated anything action-related or anything like that. But she'd watched that, and all she could talk out of it was, God, he cries all the fucking time.
Yeah, well, that's where I got the whole thing. That's where I got the whole puppies joke from, because there's that whole bit in the episode where his son, doesn't he? His son adopts or steals, I think steals from some children, a puppy in Romania. I think that's what they do. I think there's some edited out footage of a little girl crying somewhere, being like, my puppy Crackers is gone. I don't know why the dog is called. I don't know why the dog is called Crackers. It's insane. But it is. I think that's what happened. The son. But then they find out that this dog that they stole has got like every disease known to man.
Yeah,
and really should probably just be put down. But no, I love the puppies and I want to weep on them and use them to wipe up my tears. And that happens a lot. And then there's that weird bit where he's standing outside a Catholic church weeping about the fact that he used to have an ego. That's incredible.
Yeah, used to.
That's what he says, doesn't he, about Snook with the where he's making some movie. Was it The Quest he was talking about, or some other movie he tried to get off the ground?
No, it was that. It was called Full Love. Then it was called The Eagle Path. It still hasn't been released. He made it in like 2010. He keeps re-editing it all the time.
Right, I see. Isn't it his On Deadly Ground? It's all about the environment and stuff.
Apparently, last 10 minutes to the On Deadly Ground just loads of shots of the environment, and it's apparently really bizarre.
Yeah, I think he should just release it and do some really insane commentary over the top of it. I think that's
brilliant.
And then we just watch it with the comment. You don't watch it as a movie. You watch it as some sort of mad 2-hour performance art piece.
Yeah, I would watch that definitely.
Yeah, they put some like melancholy organ music underneath it, and it's just him going, "I cannot believe the polar bears because they look like large puppies are dying." And underneath it's just like, oh. That'd be amazing. And the forest, they'd be burnt. And the puppies, they scurry out of the forest. It's just this whole long, like him weeping and melancholy organ music. That'd be amazing. Sorry, yeah, Doc, you were trying to say, dude.
I cannot believe the polar ice bears are melting. Polar ice caps.
I don't want to wear a cap. It would hurt with these headphones on.
That is not a good look for me.
But yeah, that's why Jean-Claude Van Damme is my personal favourite, is because of his... that's one of the reasons why he's one of my favourites, is because of the weeping and the... His earnest attempts to be a good man when clearly he's a bit of a, you know, a drug addict, panty raider.
I do think he might be slightly insane after watching every episode of that documentary. He comes across as really eccentric sometimes. And I don't know if that's just because of all the drug use over the years or what, but it's mixed for an entertaining program, though.
Definitely.
French.
The French. Well, the Belgians. Really, it's the Belgians. They're a people without an identity, torn between the insane Germans on one side and the arrogant French on the other, with the pot-smoking Dutch. So they're kind of attacked on all sides by these very kind of strong personalities. And I think that leaves the Belgians in a sort of interesting quandary, I think, personally.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I'd agree with that. I think that explains Van Damme to a T.
how shocked are you guys that he's not had any major offers since The Expendables 2?
That was the question I was going to ask. It's like you read my mind. Carry on.
Yeah. See?
Yeah, I think it's pretty... Well, I don't know, what has he done lately? He did a UFO movie, which looks pretty terrible. What's he got coming up next?
Well, it's Attack the Block with Van Damme, isn't it, basically?
Yeah, pretty much. But isn't he only in it for about 10 minutes, sort of like an extended cameo?
Well, he did that Rumble in the Jungle or whatever it is, Welcome to the Jungle or whatever, the comedy movie where he plays, like, a guy. But these strike me as movies that were either being made or he was contractually obligated to before... X2 came out and was a hit. He's got Swelter coming out, which is meant to be a fairly big...
Action drama thriller. I'm just looking at that now.
Because I know Six Bullets actually came out before X2. Obviously, Day of Reckoning. Welcome to the Jungle, you know, looks pretty poor just from the trailers.
Enemies Closer.
That's another Peter Hyams joint, so that might be good.
Yeah, that'll probably be good.
Universal Soldier's pretty damn good. That one's good that he's in.
I still haven't seen the last Universal Soldier yet, but it looks really good.
It is good. Scott Atkins is great in it. Some good fights in it. It starts off like a horror. So, you know, it's kind of...
I've heard it's quite dark compared to the rest of them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not really. I mean, it's only the fact that you got Jean-Claude Van Damme playing Luke Devereaux and Dolph Lundgren, and it makes it a Universal Soldier film. It's like a horror film that sort of turns into this really violent action film.
Yeah.
It's two thumbs up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good film. Definitely go and check that out.
But I was going to say, I think it's probably, when you're saying about like roles he hasn't gotten after Expendables, it's probably more surprising that he didn't get more offers after JCVD.
Yeah, that's true.
He can act, yeah. Very.
But, I mean, I just think that, you know, when you look at... I know Dolph Lundgren was beginning to churn them out, but after Expendables 1, he really, you know, hits this streak of doing sort of 7 or 8 movies a year.
Mm.
Obviously, once Arnie came out of office, he's gone into doing... In fact, they've just announced another movie that Arnie's doing, a zombie movie. So he's got, like, 8 or 9 things lined up. Obviously, Statham has gone into overdrive in terms of churning movies out since Expendables. I don't know about Jet Li. I don't know what sort of whether Jet Li parlayed it into anything or whether he just sort of carried on the way he was doing. But then obviously you've got Randy Couture went off and did Hijacked. So there's sort of stuff coming out off the back of the Expendables, you know what I mean? And it's just odd that Van Damme didn't, you know, maybe he's contracted to these like pieces of shit shot in Belarus, you know, or wherever. maybe he's contracted to this stuff for the next few years and he just can't get out of it. I don't know. But it just seems odd to us here at the show that he hasn't, you know, he hasn't either gone the Lundgren route and, you know, bashed out 8 or 9 really pretty decent movies. Because the Lundgren ones aren't bad. They're all fairly watchable. He hasn't done that. Or he hasn't done, like, just one big, you know, studio movie. Or some studio head didn't get him, like, oh, can we get him to play the bad guy in something else, you know?
Yeah, because after Expendable 2, I'd hoped that every year from now on we'd see a theatrical Van Damme, and it was going to be his big comeback, but it didn't seem to be the case, really.
No, instead, weirdly, I mean, maybe not over in England, but weirdly over here with his trips to Russia and the third season of Lawman being unearthed and a bunch of other stuff that's going on, Seagal is, like, back in the news in a big way. It's completely weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
Because he doesn't have, like, many movies out, but he's got the... He did those two TV series, which were, I know, made into movies in the UK, Real Justice or whatever, True Justice or whatever it's called, which is on the Reels channel over here. They've just unearthed, like I said, the third season of Lawman, so that's finally going to get released. That's the one where he drives over a puppy and a tank trying to break up a cockfighting ring, allegedly. which you just couldn't... Like, if you sat down and tried to put insane things from your mind into a sentence, you couldn't get much funnier than Steven Seagal drives over puppy in tank trying to break up cockfighting ring.
He's probably not even... He's probably not that. He's probably just two gay guys in bed together. He goes, book him for cockfighting, Johnny. We're not going to be having that around here.
Not in Arizona. We don't... Me and Joe Arpaio, we don't put up with that kind of shit. But yeah, no,
and
so
it's... over his puppy.
Although Seagal hasn't been in... The Expendables, I mean, he was in Machete, of course, but he hasn't been in The Expendables yet.
Mm.
There is a sort of groundswell. I mean, there's always a groundswell under Seagal because he eats too many bison. But there's kind of a sort of... The world is looking at Seagal again a little bit, I think, in a weird way.
I think my favourite thing, just going back to that story about the tank, I think my favourite thing in the news story of that was... The quote from Seagal was something like, animal cruelty is one of my biggest pet peeves.
Just like the environment, even though in On Deadly Ground, he just blows stuff up.
Yeah.
He's got two horses on his spit.
Yeah, which isn't very good for... And also, doesn't in Lawman, doesn't he drive around in like a big SUV? I care about the environment, Johnny.
I usually like to use my jetpack to go and look for crime.
Now, Seagal on a jetpack, that...
Oh, you'd watch that. Everybody would watch that.
Wouldn't you just... Wouldn't that be
amazing? If it could take off.
That's what I was going to say.
Put more fuel in it, Johnny. I tell you what, fuck it, I'll wear two. Where's one on the front, one on the back? It's burning my willy, Johnny. I'm sorry, we've devolved into a Seagal conversation. It's meant to be Van Damme. So, favourite scenes, people. Let's talk favourite scenes. Doc?
Favourite scene.
Or favourite fights, whatever.
I think Hard Target is a big favourite of mine. I love that last scene in the warehouse. I think that's great. That's why I always think of when I think of Jean-Claude the Van Damme, I think.
With a burning Lance Henriksen.
Yeah.
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 I like. Yeah. My favorite bit about Hard Target is the old dude. What's his name? With the mustache.
Wilford Brimley.
Him on the horse. That's my favorite bit.
Yeah, I would say there's a few favorite scenes in Hard Target, especially like the early fight outside the diner. I've also that was quite a good fight scene. Snapping a guy's arm and kicking that guy who looks like George Michael through a window. Wake me up before you go, go. And then, the end fight, obviously, the end gun battle, which is like 15 minutes long and, you know, it's classic John Woo stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good scene. I do, I mean, I like the stuff in Time Cop. I like it where he kicks that guy's arm off in the, when he's put on his arm.
It's been so long since I've seen Time Cop, I can barely remember it.
He freezes it, then kicks it, doesn't he?
Oh, is it like liquid nitrogen or whatever?
Yeah, I like that. That was pretty good. I like the bit where he sort of walks back, he gets through time, and all of a sudden, he gets run over by the truck. That looks pretty good.
I like the stilt chase at the beginning of the quest. That's one of my favourites. Just the enormous floppy hat. It's a brave costuming choice. I love almost everything in Double Impact, but especially anything with Jeffrey Lewis. It is Jeffrey Lewis, right? The bald guy who's all enraged and sweaty. I like him.
You just like sweaty bald men, don't you?
I do. I love him. Can't get enough. I'm having to cut down. My doctor says that it's doing me physical and mental harm. I'm trying to think. I loved Assassination Games. I thought that was really good. And it's interesting to see post-JCVD how he's... Or Jesse Vede, how he has been kind of playing more kind of serious, thoughtful characters. There is action in his later movies, but it tends to be behind a wall of, I am in deep torment. and, you know, I kind of like that. He's kind of growing old, you know, gracefully.
Is that what you say when he goes for auditions now? So do you think you want the role? Does my character have some deep torment?
In fact, I'm surprised he's never grown a beard, because Hollywood demands that if you are feeling any form of inner turmoil, that a beard is grown.
Yeah, that's just Hollywood law.
I think he has a beard in Hell at one point.
Yeah, I think. Well, he has a beard in The Quest at one point as well.
Yeah,
it's not quite as luscious as Seagal's current goatee. Just for men, Sharpie goatee.
Just looks like a fucking weave. I think he's just cut a bigger hole in a merkin and just stuck that in his face.
And he also has Seagal has. I've not yet seen it, but he has a glue-on beard in one of the episodes of True Justice, which I have to see. I just have to see that. I don't know how I haven't witnessed that. I just found True Justice so difficult to watch because it's filmed by a ADD spastic.
Yeah, I think I only managed to sit through about 15 minutes of one episode.
Yeah, right. Is it being released?
The only episode I saw had him singing. So.
There's one of him singing in an episode?
This is the very first scene. It was the first episode I saw, and I wasn't surprised that it was said written by Steven Seagal, and the first shot was him with these guitars. Like, oh, God.
Nice. I have to. I don't know if it's being released. What's weird is they've released the movies over here and the TV shows on. I kind of want them to release the TV show rather than the films. I want to make sure I'm getting everything, every last drop of goodness. And do you think, this is the thing. Let's cast a Jean-Claude Van Damme TV show. So he's got to play something and do something. We're going to have an ongoing, Seagal's go-to is like, I'm a special cop. Doesn't have to abide by the law because I'm special, but I have lots of special training. And so that's his go-to, but.
I never keep going off the subject of Van Damme, but did you see that video that somebody posted on our page about Seagal when Brandon Lee got killed making The Crow?
Yeah.
and he says, I said to the pathologist, I says, I bet it's a bullet. They killed him. You know, from a gun.
Yeah.
Who would have thought it?
Yeah, then, I just imagine him bursting into the pathologist's office. Wait, don't start cutting him up until I'm here. I know all the special expert stuff.
He says, you remember me that night? He says, Stephen, he says, you're a genius. I said, yeah, I know. And then he says, we found a bullet. I said, I told you so. And did you know that knives stab people? He's so full of shit.
But let's cast a Jean-Claude Van Damme TV show. It's got to run at least 6 episodes. So it's got to have some sort of arc. But let's cast it. What does he play, first of all? What's his character, do we reckon?
Probably something to do with dogs.
Dogs?
Something to do with puppies. Probably like a dog catcher. It was a change of heart and adopts all the puppies.
He could train like attack dogs for the Secret Service.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I would watch that.
And he has to wear a leather jacket. All creatures great and small.
Jean-Claude Van Damme is James Herriot. That is right. I have moved to a small Yorkshire town to stick my hand up Khan's ass.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, you could go silly and you could have him as like a vet in the countryside. And just like Midsummer Murders or whatever, there's always shit going on in the town, even though there's only 5 people live there. Someone's always like, some visitor is always being murdered, or, you know, things are always being smuggled through that town or something like that. You know, he could be a vet in a small, dusty border town in America.
With some inner torment.
With some inner torment, which requires him to have a greasy moulet and a 3-day beard.
I'd like to see him do something back in, call it, you know, like Belgian blues, where he's like a detective.
He just wears all denim the whole time.
Yeah, and a bolo tie. he's just solving like the most shittiest crimes ever.
JCVD blue.
Yeah, there you go.
And they bring Dennis Franz back.
Yeah, and with their cut-out buttocks. Because everybody liked that so much about NYPD by the time he showed his ass.
Is Dennis Franz still alive?
I don't know.
No, he is. Yeah. I think we should have Dennis Franz and Jean-Claude Van Damme team up in in JCVD Blue. And it's set... It's set in a small, dusty border town, and together they fight crime and strip at the local parlour, local, like, saloon or whatever. And Franz does, like, buttock jiggling or whatever.
I'd get Peter Salas in as his boss. Very random, but I think it's the role that he was born to play.
It could really break him out, but make him big time. Get the Salas name out there.
Well, that went as well as could be expected, didn't it? Hmm?
I've never heard Peter Salas say fuck, and that's what I really want to hear. Yeah. Now, don't you fuck around. You know, that's good.
Don't you fuck around, Grummy. Yeah, for people who don't know, Peter Salas is in Last of the Summer Wine, one of the longest-running sitcoms in England, and also was the voice of Wallace in Wallace and Gromit.
lovely chap. He's about 140.
He's been acting since he was 3, so he's he's had a longer career than Seagal, that's for sure.
Yeah, he played Jesus when Jesus was still around.
Yeah, he attended the first nativity, the real nativity. But no, I could, in all seriousness, though, I could see a kind of Dennis Franz, JCVD, cop, vet drama. So, like, Dennis Franz is a cop, Jean-Claude Van Damme is a vet. Together, they make up JCVD Blue. And they're, like, running through the desert in slow motion. Van Damme wearing...
Oh, Dennis Franz is probably not running.
Dennis Franz is being wheeled by two on a shopping cart.
Jean-Claude Van Damme's got Dennis Franz in a wheelbarrow. And he's got a siren. Dennis Franz is holding a siren.
Oh, and and they travel through time. So you bring in a bit of time cop as well.
See, why is HBO not putting that shit on?
I don't know.
That's going to get far more viewers than Game of Thrones.
Throw tits in it and you have have yourself a series.
Yeah. We want Jane Fonda in it as well.
Dennis Franz every week.
Dennis Franz should get the hottest girl every episode in it. Just to make ugly men around the world feel good.
They should also be like borderline age, so that you don't quite know what it is you're watching, and you're a little scared by the whole thing.
You feel every time you're watching it, you're actually dialing the police.
You're like, wait a minute, I've just seen a show on TV where 90-year-old Dennis Franz. When 90-year-old Dennis Franz seems to be abusing a 15-year-old girl, I'm disturbed. They're like, no, don't worry, it's just HBO. Okay. But that's, yes, that, okay, there we go then. We've cast our ultimate Jean-Claude Van Damme show.
Chris did.
I would watch. That was what I was going to say, exactly.
Is that what you've got wrote down in front of you?
Yeah. Exactly.
He'd be like, it'll be bloody weird if they come up with this.
I'm not from Yorkshire.
No, I know. I can't do any other accent, though. what would you add to the mix? What would you put in that show? So, give us a plot line or a character arc or something like that.
Yeah, give us the pilot.
What can you add after all that? I've got no idea. I'd have Dennis Franz instead of in a wheelbarrow. I'd have him like riding a Great Dane or something. You gotta have the dog thing in there a bit more, I think.
Right. Yeah. Well, he's a vet though, so every week you have a murder, like a police murder, and you have a dog problem. So every week they have like a plot and a B plot.
They could be solving animal murders.
Mm.
So instead of like human murders, it'd be like animal murders. So it'd be like, they find a badger on a motorway with, like tire tracks all through him. And Dennis Franz would go, "Seems simple. It was run over." And Jean-Claude Van Damme would come over and go, "This is not random. This is a murder." And then they have to go off and figure out why this badger's been murdered.
I think the trouble with that is that Van Damme would just weep too much. He'd never be able to say any lines because he'd always be lying down by the animal, cradling its head in his hands, weeping openly. And Dennis Franz would be like, "Are we going to go do this thing or what?"
Come on, let's go off and do this. I know you love them. Yeah, you got to go off and just solve it.
Yeah. But what would you say? What would you do as a pilot, Snoog? What would be your big thing? Sorry, are we putting you on the spot?
Just a little bit. I mean, after all that barrage of craziness, I don't know what to add to it. I think it's perfect as it is.
It's perfect as it is. Don't mess with the gold.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, okay, how about this? What JCVD films did you watch today? So give us a rundown on those.
Today?
Yes.
I just watched Maximum Risk because I wasn't sure if I'd actually ever seen it before. And I think it only caught maybe the last 20 minutes on TV, and I think that's honestly one of his better films from the 90s, like post-Hard Target, when he was working with every Hong Kong director that was coming to America and stuff. Almost feels...
That's Bingo Lam, isn't it?
Yeah, it almost feels as well like an 80s action movie. You got a lot of gritty New York setting, which you're never going to see again. I miss all that type of stuff, but yeah, it's a really cool movie. I like it a lot.
As I really like it. I also like Double Team with Mickey Rourke.
Is that the one with Dennis Rodman?
Yeah. I don't know why, but I watched it. I think I only ever seen it once.
Yeah.
I finished watching it. I thought, I really enjoyed that. And then I went and looked and seen what everybody else thought, and I thought it was shit. I enjoyed that one. Definitely enjoyed Double Team. But Maximum Risk is one that I've always liked. I think it's a really good film.
In the one with Dennis Rodman, does he push him around in a wheelbarrow?
Oh, that's where Rabbit. It weren't original at all. That's what happens in there.
Great. And he doesn't need a siren because his hair is loud enough as it is.
Yeah, he keeps colouring it every time, different scenes. So it actually does give that sort of siren effect.
Nice. And Mill Creek Entertainment, who put out sort of shitty DVDs in the US, actually posted a picture of Jean-Claude Van Damme today. Because I think they're releasing Universal Soldier: The Return and Second in Command double feature, I think.
I wasn't a big fan of Universal Soldier: The Return. I don't know about you. What do you think, Dan?
No, it's not a particularly great film. I think the Universal Soldier films have sort of disregarded it now anyway, haven't they?
Yeah,
Have you seen Regeneration?
Yeah.
That's sort of like carried straight on from Universal Soldiers. What about the one with Goldberg and Michael J. White? Sorry? Yeah, we didn't make that one. So I think they've just totally disregarded it.
That's probably why Mill Creek is putting it out then.
Yeah, probably.
And what is Second in Command? Has anyone ever seen that?
I've got that. I haven't watched it yet, though. I've had it for a while. I've never seen it. Have you seen it, Doug?
I've got it. Did I send you a copy, John?
I don't think so. Maybe you did.
Yeah. No, I've not seen. I've not seen that. But just a minute. Let me have a look. Probably have seen it. Second in command. I've got it. I don't think I've watched it yet.
And Snook, if you were going to have in Expendables 3, would you rather see Mel Gibson, which is what they're saying is going to happen, or Jean-Claude Van Damme coming back as Villain's twin brother?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd probably go with the twin brother thing, yeah. It's maybe too much of a cheesy angle for the Expendables, but I don't know. I knew he was going to die at the end of Expendables 2, obviously, but it would have been nice to maybe just put him in jail and bring him back to the third one, because he was, I don't know, he was too good in it to kill him off, I think.
Yeah. I mean, there was talk of the third one being... I mean, when the second one first came out, Stallone said, who knows, the third one might be them versus aliens. He was even considering taking the franchise off into, like, complete fantasy. So there's no reason why the aliens couldn't, like, bring Valan back to life or something.
That well, as soon as I saw that, I thought, I'd check the date, see if it was April the 1st. And then I was worried about Sly Stallone going up and taking a lot of drugs. I was like, what?
I don't know. I could honestly see an Expendables movie every year where, or every other year, where they go up against different. So it doesn't have to be like Earthbound. You could have one in. They could do like a horror franchise. You have one in space. They could have one in the hood. They could have, you know, they could really go wherever they want, really.
Don't come on my patch.
They could have one in hell. Do you know what I mean, though? There's, like, endless scope for that group of people.
Oh, you mean, when he says aliens, does it mean new types of aliens or aliens?
Means, like, Predator. Like, he means, like, it. Like in Predator, Arnie goes up against an alien. The Expendables could go up against some aliens.
Oh, right. It's not like the...
Not like Mexican biggest... immigrants, no.
Oh, that'd be tense in the cinema. Oh, those aliens.
That's what I meant. Mexican.
Has anyone seen Kung Fu Panda 2? Because he does a voice in that, doesn't he?
Yeah, I have seen that. The only reason I watched it was because Van Damme did a voice.
Nice.
It's not bad. It's quite fun.
It's all right. I haven't seen any of those.
I've not seen any of those.
I'm looking down. So you would recommend Wake of Death and In Hell then? Because I have that as part of my triple bill. I have In Hell, Derailed, and Wake of Death. Do you think they're pretty good then?
Yeah, I'd recommend. In Hell's really good. It's a good. It's not really an action movie. There's a few fight scenes in it, but it's more of just a grimy prison movie, really.
And he plays Carl LeBlanc in it. Now, is he some relative of, or meant to be some relative of Matt LeBlanc? Is it like a Joey spin-off?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Jean-Claude Van Damme goes into Brillinger's prison and says, how you doing?
Hey! And then, what is The Secret Adventures of Gustav Klopp? Have you ever heard of that movie?
I've heard of it, but I think it's more, he's just got a brief cameo in it, I think. One of those type of things.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Sounds enthralling.
I'll just go down. Desert Heat. What do we think of Desert Heat? Anyone seen that?
I haven't seen that, no.
That's the one that's also called Inferno, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, I've not seen it. I've got that one as well. It's supposed to be not a bad film, actually.
And the one we haven't talked about is Sudden Death, which I would probably put, like, if I have a top three, it's probably Sudden Death, Double Impact, and... Bloodsport.
Yeah, I really like Sudden Impact. I mean, you know, it's you can class it as a sort of diehard in an ice rink type of movie, but it's a really solid action movie. I think I saw that one in the cinema, and there was just me, my friend, and two rather suspicious looking backpackers. it was kind of a seedy experience, but I enjoyed the movie.
We will go into cinema and we will watch the Jean-Claude Van Damme in Sudden Death. I have heard good things about it, Sergi.
I've travelled all the way from here to watch it because it's not showing in my native country, and I do like Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Gregor, shall we take off our backpack? No, let us leave it on so we appear more suspicious. I don't know why they're from Eastern Europe or from Russia or wherever that accent is, but...
One day we meet Jean-Claude Van Damme when he comes to our country to make lots of shit movies.
We obviously have... Has anyone seen Black Eagle?
Yeah, that's a film I started watching when I was about 9, and I still haven't finished it.
Because I picked that up recently, so I need to watch that. Obviously, we've got Cyborg. That was an early big movie for Van Damme. What is our feeling on Cyborg?
I love Cyborg. That's one of my favourites. When we reviewed Cyborg on my old podcast, and the director got in contact and, you know, thanked with all the nice words and stuff, but because we always took the piss out of Seagal, he said he was going to pass the show on to Seagal. And thankfully, that never happened. But
Albert Pyun?
It would have been interesting if it did. Yeah, Albert Pyun, yeah.
Oh, wow. So you had prestigious listeners then. Did you reach out to him, or was that just something where he contacted you out of the blue?
Yeah, just out of the blue. I have noticed that he does seem to do that quite a bit, actually. He's like quite... I think he's quite active on the IMDb board. I don't know, maybe he Googles himself a lot. I'm not sure.
Well, we all do. We're all men.
Yeah, we all do that.
I gave myself a good Google before we started to record. So that way I'm not tempted to do it during the recording, as that can often lead to me having to do way more editing than I want to. I'm just looking through. Have you seen the clip of him being the gay karate man in Monaco Forever? That surfaced online recently.
Yeah. I remember you used to be able to get a double feature VHS of that with Stallone's Italian Stallion porno.
Nice.
I always regretted not buying that.
that would be a double bill for the ages. I would have to say, though, I mean, when you look through Van Damme's list of movies, most of the titles are pretty well known. I mean, I know you get into kind of, you know, after sort of, I guess, Desert Heat, they become a little bit more obscure to like your average viewer. But everything up until then, I mean, you know, most people on the street, if you sort of said Van Damme to them, I would imagine would know, like, Nowhere to Run, Hard Target, Time Cop, Universal Soldier, Double Impact. Like, they're all movies that fairly big. You know, he's had a pretty good run of it. You know, Seagal has, like, the first 8 or 10 movies that he did are, like, probably worth watching, and the rest are kind of for, hardcore fans or, you know, sadists. And or masochists, rather. But Van Damme's movies are pretty top draw all the way up until kind of 2000. It goes a bit shaky, but then kind of comes back in 2008 when he sort of starts working with Scott Adkins. I'm not sure what this Alien Uprising, Welcome to the Jungle, Enemies Closer, and Swelter period is meant to be.
I think with Jean-Claude Van Damme, I think any time he's on screen, he's worth a watch. He's always entertaining.
Right.
So, you know, I'll still watch most of the stuff he's in. I mean, even the stuff, you know, in the late 2000s, you know, they're not Steven Seagal bad.
Well, no.
Because his films over there are just... utter. I mean, at least Jean-Claude Van Damme bothers to stay around so, you know, they can film him doing some of his fight scenes.
Yeah, or he bothers to stay around to ADR the dialogue.
Yeah.
I actually watched the Seagal movie the other day. It was Born to Raise Hell. And in that, I honestly could not, I'd never seen this done before in any other film ever. There was a whole opening monologue, and I was thinking to myself, is that meant to be Seagal? Because it clearly wasn't Seagal. It was worse than us. Like, we do our, like, you know, hello, Johnny, kind of Seagal voice. It was worse than that. It was literally someone kind of mumbling like that. And then I thought, okay, so maybe he just didn't stick around to do a voiceover, and they had to do a voiceover, and really the voiceover could be anybody. You know, it could be like a kind of anyone else. It could just be a third party narrating this movie. But then I noticed that halfway through the film, they started replacing his dialogue with the same guy doing this voice that sounds nothing like... And I was like, wait a minute, is that meant to be Seagal talking? That's insane. Who looked at that and went, yeah, we can put that out? I don't understand. That's ridiculous.
Well, the studio have to put out a film and it's got to have Seagal because, you know, he's done all the... he's given his permission for him to Photoshop his face onto all these muscular people on the poster. And He must like just look through the script, and his arrogance must just be like, "Yeah, I'm not saying that. Get somebody else." And he'll just do the role, you know, the bits that he wants to do.
But what was crazy is he was down as a writer and a producer on the film. So he loathed it so much he couldn't even... He was like, yeah, I wrote it and I produced it, but fuck that movie. I'm going on to do the next fucking batshit Eastern European load of shit. I mean, I don't understand, but do we have anything else to say on the subject of JCVD?
Well, I was going to... Not to bring it down, but I was just going to see what you both thought were his worst film was, I guess.
I mean, I guess the worst one I've seen is Derailed.
Yeah, I would say Derailed, yeah.
The worst Jean-Claude Van Damme film? Let me have a think. I'm not too sure, actually.
I wished JCVD had more action in it. I mean, I know what it was trying to do and trying to say, and it was kind of cool, but I wish that he had started to, like, kick the shit out of the bad guys sooner.
Yeah,
I would agree, yeah.
I think for me, it probably would be Universal Soldier, The Return, I think, for me.
Yeah,
I didn't enjoy that.
And plus, it was a bit of a wasted opportunity because you've got Michael Jai White in there, and it's a shame that they were put together in such a shitty film. It'd be nice to see them do another film together, I think, at some point.
Yeah, Expendables 3 should have all been in that. Face Off again. That'd have been nice. Or put them both in a remake of Face Off. I think I've just spoken for it. I think I've just done it there.
One's Belgian, one's black. That would work.
But what I wouldn't do is I wouldn't change the rest of the skin colour.
Right.
So how crazy would it look with Jean-Claude Van Damme running around with like a black body? And Michael Jai White walking around looking like what's the jazz singer's name?
Al Jolson.
Yeah.
Nice. Way to take it into some sort of dark racist territory. I like it.
No, it's not that. It's a film.
I know. What? So you're saying that Michael Jai White would have to go on in whiteface, and JCVD would have to go on in blackface?
No.
Are we talking CGI? He would CGI.
CGI, and you put Michael Jai White's face on Jean-Claude Van Damme's body.
Nice. Okay. Sure. Let's do that then. I just noticed as well, he's in Missing in Action, uncredited, with Chuck Norris and James Hong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've just seen that. It's like, it just says Driver, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember seeing him in it. But
I try not to watch Norris movies.
No, I'm the same. I think I've only seen probably like two. I think I've seen Delta Force 2 and Missing in Action. I think that's it.
Sidekicks. Here's a question. Is Nowhere to Run his most Seagal-esque movie?
What do you mean by Seagal-esque?
In the sense that he plays a stranger who rides into town and saves him. You know, it's got like the most kind of A-team plot, which a lot of like Seagal's early stuff has.
Mm.
You know, I'm thinking of like Fire Down Below and stuff. It has that kind of stranger rides into town and saves a dusty desert California town from ruin. It's got that sort of vibe to it.
That sort of Western sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember they made a big deal out of that at the time because really he doesn't do any trademark Van Damme stuff. There's no splits, there's no kicks or anything. It's more of a drama more than anything else.
Right.
I've got to say, it's not one that I always go back to.
No.
I think I've probably only ever seen it twice.
Except for Rosanna Arquette Booby.
Yeah, I was going to mention that.
Yeah, that's about it, really. You know, and the fine acting chops of Kieran Culkin. Because who can really resist the wonder that is Kieran Culkin? He's such a strong presence.
He's a talented little bastard. What's the last film he did?
I don't know. I don't know at all. It's also got, of course, Joss Ackland in it, our favourite.
Yeah. Diplomatic immunity.
Diplomatic immunity. Joss Ackland is completely lunatic. Have you seen his IMDb picture?
Yeah.
It's insane. He looks like Gandalf the Grey.
Oh, yeah, just
seen it. Hello. Hello. I'm...
That is pretty damn awesome, that is.
It is. I hope I get old like Joss Ackman. That'd be great. Big flabby old face. What a lunatic. And it's got Ted Levine. Ted Mangina Levine. As Mr. Dunstan. Which I was like, anyone named after a monkey? So, yeah, did we answer your question, Snook?
What was the question, sorry?
About the worst movie. Did we answer the question?
Oh, yeah, I would say Derailed. I'm sure a lot of people would say Derailed and Universal Soldier of the Return. And I would say Black Eagle, but like I said, I've tried to watch it so many times, I just thought it was really boring, so I don't know. Maybe I'm missing out on one of these, you know, undiscovered greats, but I will have to watch it. I might watch it this week, actually. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to finally watch Black Eagle.
Nice.
You know, the action scenes in it are not too bad. I think it's just everything else.
Hmm.
There's Shai Kasugi and Jean-Claude Van Damme have some, you know, pretty good there. I mean, it was, you know, because I think they sort of released Black Eagle more after Bloodsport to sort of say, capitalise on the Jean-Claude Van Damme name.
I think so, yeah.
So, I mean, that was I can remember that being, you know, pretty big deal, you know, like the star of Bloodsport meets the ninja himself.
Yeah.
It was a kind of a big deal at that time. It was always impact.
Yeah, that might have been another reason I didn't like it as much, because obviously, going off the box, thought Van Damme was the main star, and he's not really, he's kind of just a henchman.
Yeah, he is, yeah. He's the Russian, isn't he?
Mm.
With the Belgian accent.
It would also be the shortest Seagal movie ever made, because he just tased the eagle. What kind of eagle is it, Johnny? It's a black eagle, Stephen. Get me the taser. I'll take that fucker down.
You're in danger. I'll eat you.
I'll eat the evidence. But yeah, I think with that, this is possibly the most in-depth Jean-Claude Van Damme podcast that's ever been done.
Yeah.
Definitely the most serious one.
Yeah, definitely. I guess the only thing we haven't touched on is the whole, like, his kickboxing record or whatever. Do you believe the whole it's in question thing, or do you just like, nah, fuck it, he was a kickboxer? Or, like me, do you think it doesn't matter, he's a movie actor?
Yeah, I don't really think it matters. There was something a couple of years ago where someone did try and discredit his kickboxing record, but because they said they couldn't find any record of a Jean-Claude Van Damme as a kickboxer, but it was because he used his original name. So
yeah,
if that's the case, then fair enough. But it doesn't matter really. And then I always, you know, hated it when you'd see, you know, like Seagal come out and try and discredit him and stuff when Seagal hasn't done any form of competitive fighting in his life.
Right. I've never understood it. Also, they're all like action movie stars.
Mm.
And if we're talking, you know, great action movie stars, someone like Chuck Norris is an official, like, ninth Dan, black belt, whatever the fuck. Like, he has been a competitive fighter, yet his fight scenes are some of the most tedious that have ever been filmed.
Yeah,
so my feeling always is like, yeah, the real thing is all very well and good, but you look at someone like Statham, who has never competed, yet clearly has trained over and over and over again and continues to train in a wide variety of mixed martial arts. And his fight scenes are thrilling. Like, in every movie, his fight scenes. So I think to be a movie fighter, real, you know, having competed on the international stage as a fighter is sort of irrelevant. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would agree. But I'm sure if you brought that up to Seagal, he would laugh in your face.
Yeah, he would. I'd laugh in your face.
Do you notice that, do you think Statham and Norris have got bad blood? Because they didn't share a scene, did they, in Expendables 2, did they?
Why would they have bad blood? Is there a reason behind that?
Because he's, like you say, he's not a champion, but his films are 10 times better than Chuck Norris's.
Yeah, I mean, probably. And also because Chuck Norris knows in the back of his head Statham could take him.
Yeah, I mean, do you think there's that scene where Statham comes back and he's like,
what happened then? And Stallone sort of goes, oh, Norris, and Statham goes, cunt.
Was that in a deleted scene that only you've seen, Doc?
Yeah, Statham sent that through to me. Nice. Fist pumping.
Nice.
Yeah, and Norris is just walking off, sort of keep looking behind him at Statham, and Statham's going, that's why you keep walking, you bearded twat. I'll fucking kick your ass, mate.
And then it cuts round to Norris and just a single tear just rolls down his cheek.
I'm coming up your arm.
And he goes, it's true, it's true. He could kick my ass. And then he wanders off and, I don't know, foretells the coming of the four horsemen of the apocalypse because a black man's been voted in as president. Or whatever he tends to do. Okay, I think that's it, though, guys. I mean, unless you have any more points, I think that will wrap up this fantastic, special, wonderful, laughter-filled, silly episode of Dr. Action and the Kick-Ass Kid.
Well, I had a great time. Thanks for inviting me on the show. It was a pleasure, gentlemen.
You are welcome back anytime, Snoog. It's been a thrill.
Absolutely. It's it's great to finally talk to you.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you, too.
You know, I've been chatting away on Twitter and Facebook for so long. It's actually it's great just to actually speak to you.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And as for the Kick-Ass Kid, we usually record separately and just throw them together. It's nice to actually talk to you, Kick-Ass Kid.
Yeah, it's unusual to have to like put up with him actually having any kind of input. Normally, I just get to ramble on, and then we just kind of stick together whatever bits he sends me. Useless stuff, really.
Yeah, I usually just send off like 2 hours worth of speak pipe stuff, and he just takes the best bits.
Yeah.
That's how we've been doing it for the past year and a half, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really weird because there's a lot of like heavy breathing and rubbing noises that I have to remove from the final show.
There is a lot of bad blood between us.
There is.
John actually really likes Chuck Norris, you know.
Yeah, I do. I hate Statham. Do you know, I can't even say that as a joke. Even saying it as a joke feels like I'm betraying my soul. I'm not even kidding. Like, just saying the words "I hate Jason" is so wrong, and so inaccurate, and so makes me less of a man. Even as a joke, I can't say it.
No,
I feel the same way when I say I like Steven Seagal.
So yeah, I mean, Stu, do you like him or not at all? Like, do you just not like his movies or whatever? But you like to laugh at him, or do you like us like his movies but also like to laugh at him?
A bit of both. I like everything from like Above the Law to about Under Siege, and then everything from there, not really. And it's just, I don't know, he's just such an idiot. Fun to laugh at, but I just find myself getting more annoyed at him than anything else. But that's why I love listening to the show, because nothing makes me happier than hearing people take the piss out of Steven Seagal.
We want more clips of you phoning him up. That's what we want.
I'm trying to find the Piers Morgan interview, because I'm sure that's got some choice quotes in there, but I can't find it anywhere.
He's trying to find Piers Morgan is a tricky thing at the best of times. The only clip I found is one clip where Piers asks if he's still dangerous. He's like, yeah, around a wedding buffet. But okay, well, look, no, thanks ever so much, Luke. As I say, you're welcome back on anytime, sir. It's been a thrill, been a pleasure. Doc, I'll talk to you in a week, and this should be going up Wednesday, Thursday time, I'd imagine.
Very nice. Thanks again for having me on. It's been awesome.
No worries, guys. You take it easy, everybody.
See you later.
Speak soon.
See you later. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
there are men, and then there are second unit podcast men. The podcast you've just been listening to is part of the Second Unit Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at 2upn.blogspot.com or on Facebook under the Second Unit Podcast Network. Our fantastic list of shows include Drunk on VHS, We Came from the Basement, No Budget Nightmares, The After Movie Diner, Dr. Action and the Kick-Ass Kid, and Bloodbaths and Boomsticks. Take one podcast into the shower. Don't be a blithering idiot, Alan. We can give you the multiple podcast cleansing system all in one place that your hair deserves. Our programming is available across all platforms, from iTunes to Podomatic, TalkShoe to Stitcher, so you have absolutely no excuse. Listen today, and a free naked person of your choice will be shipped from Thailand to your door in a matter of weeks. The Second Unit Podcast Network, bringing you the action and leaving the boring stuff to the other guys. Bloody hell. Who does a girl have to blow around here to get a decent beverage?